President Lyndon Johnson wanted to be remembered for his human rights record and for his vision of a great society. Instead, he became the symbol of an unpopular war that he never wanted to wage. On Saturday, HBO will present a made-for-TV movie titled Path to War. It's the inside story of how Johnson's top advisors convinced him to escalate the war in Vietnam, and how those same advisors failed to end the war once it became clear their strategies had backfired. Executive producer Howard Dratch says Path to War is an intimate portrait of Johnson's struggle with a political and personal disaster.
It's really in the form of a Greek tragedy. We start the story at almost the high point of his life, which is after he'd won the largest election in American history, in the election of 64. He's inaugurated in 65. He's at the height of his popularity and power. 3 years later, in March 1968, he is practically powerless, a ruined man in disgrace.
Now, he won that 1964 election by convincing us that Barry Goldwater was going to lead us to war in Southeast Asia and that he, Lyndon Johnson, was not.
That's right. He ran as the peace candidate. But shortly thereafter, events in 1965 and his advisors convinced him to make a tragic error.
Jack Kennedy put 16,000 advisors in there. I put in another 8. We've got 24,000 now, teaching them people how to shoot and fly planes. We got patrols and covert operations. We got an alphabet soup of aid programs, a lot of which I'd like to have right here. And none of it's working. Now, Ho Chi Minh knows this. And he's going to keep his people tacking until there's nothing left. Now, we call it quits or continue as we are. South Vietnam, maybe the whole of Southeast Asia goes communist. Now, even George Ball admits that. Everybody else thinks we ought to up the ante.
Bowman.
His primary dream was the Great Society and domestic programs, education, the poverty program. That was his real burning ambition, to be the greatest domestic president in American history. And Vietnam kept intruding and finally ruined him and brought him down.
He's surrounded by cold warriors, by the hawks.
Yes, he was surrounded by people whose intelligence and brilliance and high education perhaps he overestimated. McNamara, McGeorge Bundy, Dean Rusk, the best and the brightest. And unfortunately for him and for the whole country, they had some severe blind spots in their brilliance.
Do you think Johnson was intimidated by men he thought were his intellectual superiors?
I think he wasn't intimidated by anybody because he was an extremely intelligent man. I think he was impressed by them, and perhaps he thought he could use them as much as they thought they could use him. It really was more of a cultural arrogance and a lack of information about the enemy the United States was facing. What's interesting is they always thought, well, if we could just get the Vietnamese to the negotiating table. Well, the Vietnamese were interested in talks, and talks for the Vietnamese meant how the United States could get out of Vietnam. They wanted to win. They wanted a united Vietnam. And they weren't going to negotiate that away, despite thousands of deaths. And I think that was a fundamental blind spot in American foreign policy and among the American political elite at the time.
He also had the legacy of the Kennedy presidency over his head.
Yes, that's true. And I think he was worried about Bobby Kennedy. He was worried he'd be run out of office by the Kennedys, or he would be a lame duck kind of president between two Kennedys who lost the first American war in history.
Yeah, that was the thing, you know, to be the first to lose a war. You know, there was that macho thing of not being able to withdraw because you have to have some sort of victory there.
That's right, despite the fact that he had advice saying, you know, cut your losses and get out. This isn't a crucial battleground in the war against communism. In that respect, it had aspects of a crusade.
You see, it's this problem I got in Southeast Asia. The Vietnamese. To them Southerners up on the hill, what are they but another bunch of colored people? And I go up there crawling for more aid as a must for Vietnam. Mr. President, old Wilbur Mills will say, you're going to have to raise taxes. Declare war. Call up the reserve. And by the way, that's going to cost you your war on poverty. You're voting rights for Nichols. Just like World War II killed the New Deal. Well, there ain't going to be World War III, I promise you. I'm going to nip this in the bud. I am.
There's a wonderful scene in which LBJ is alone. He's
wrestling with the demons of this war, and he's fiddling with a pen, and he looks down at the pen, and it's the pen with which he signed the Voting Rights Act of 1965.
That's true, and that was the terrible tragedy for him, that the tremendous ambition he had to outdo FDR on domestic programs for, and he succeeded, actually, ironically, in a lot of it, the Medicare program, aid to education, in the arts, National Public Radio, and PBS. His legacy in the domestic area is enormous in spite of Vietnam.
How do you think this is going to be received by your friends who are out in the streets with you? Will they see you as trying to whitewash McNamara or make LBJ a more sympathetic figure?
Possibly. I can't predict how the film will be received. I know for myself, as an anti-war protester, I had a rather one-dimensional view. Luckily, we were right in terms of history, but we could have just as easily been wrong. But I think that subsequent study of all of these materials has given me a more balanced view, that this is less a case of good and evil and more a case of well-intentioned but flawed leaders, particularly LBJ, were engaged in a personal tragedy, and unfortunately for all of us, their personal tragedy became a national tragedy, and we're still living with the results of that tragedy.
Howard Dratch is executive producer of Path to War, the made-for-TV movie premieres Saturday on HBO.